Well, good morning, Cedarville University. If you don't know me, my name is Philip Gammy, and I have the honor and privilege of being the senior class chaplain this year. And I want to welcome you guys here today, and I think we have some visitors in the house. So welcome, visitors, to Cedarville. Yeah. If you have your Bibles with you, please open back up to Romans. We're going to be in Romans again. We looked at Romans 8 last semester, and this semester, and today we're going to look at Romans 10. And if you have your notes, like Dr. White says, you have your Bible and your notes. If you have your notes and ready, I'm giving you some time to get those out and your pen, all the clicks. I'm one of you. I remember clicking. Yeah, there you go. I can hear it. Okay. Our main point we're going to look at today is that salvation is from our God and all must hear and confess. That's our main point. I'm going to read our passage. We're going to look at a little bit of background, kind of go over what we talked about last semester in Romans 8, and then we're going to look at verses 5 through 17, Romans 10, 5 through 17. All right, let's read our passage. Verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is exciting. There is a lot to unpack here, and the gospel story is in this passage, and I want to reveal that to us today. I want the word to reveal that to us today. So first, we talked about Romans 8 and living by the Spirit and not by the flesh last semester. I cannot speak today. And before that, we looked at some of the chapters before of Paul talking to the Romans. So Romans is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. And right before this passage, right before chapter 10, Paul writes in chapter 9 about the Jews and how they are living by the law. But this is important to remember that we don't live by the law. We do not live according to law that was written, but we live by faith now, and we live by forgiveness. And Paul is rebuking the Jews for holding fast to the law, that this is what we live by is the law. And Paul says, no, that we don't live by that anymore because Christ has come and we live by faith. So then we look in verse 5 through 7, and we're going to take a quick look there. And these three verses are referencing Deuteronomy 30. And it's asking, you know, where's the word? You know, we've been living by the law. We've been like holding fast to the law. But it says, where's the word? Where's this righteousness that Moses writes about? So verse 5 says, Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But righteousness now is based on faith. So there's a transition from Old Testament to New Testament, from living by the law to living by faith. Do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven or who will descend into the abyss. This is Paul saying that we have been looking for the law. We've been searching for the true word, for the true hope that we have. And Paul says it is here. It has already come, and that was Jesus. So we don't need to go searching for it. We have the truth now. That's verses 5 through 7. Verses 8 through 13 is what we're going to look at next. And this main point for verses 8 through 13 is the message of salvation is for all, and those who confess are not separated. So we're going to take this verse by verse. Verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. The word is near and we have the word. The Jews were wrong by trying to keep the law and trying to be perfect and keep every single commandment. We are imperfect. We fail. We cannot do that. But it is by faith that we have been saved. It is by no means by the law back then or just reading the word that we are saved. It takes an act. It takes an act of faith that we have to step out and confess our sins, which we will look at very shortly. So verse 9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the beginning of the gospel. This is the beginning of hope in this passage. If we confess, I want to take a look at the word confess real quick. What does it mean to confess? I did some searching. And it says, confess is to disburden, unburden, unload, affirm, avow, confirm, profess, accept, recognize, yield. Now, some of these words may be like, oh, okay, to disburden, to, you know, like take off, but also to affirm, to avow, to accept. And I think this is really important for us that when we confess our sins, when we confess our brokenness as humans and as broken pots and jars of clay, we confess and we accept that we cannot do it on our own. It is a recognition of self that we are helpless to ourselves. But do not despair. There is grace to be had. And the important thing is that when we confess, it is not an act of emotion. So many times in, you know, I had it when I was in church camp or, you know, those worship nights in youth group that I was like, oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. It's like, well, are you just really tired and you're just kind of emotional right now because there's a lot going on in life? It's not by emotion that we confess and are saved. This is a heart change. This is a lifestyle change. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, you have been saved by grace, not by your own works, so that no man can boast. This is not anything that we do or anything that we have a part of, except confessing to the Lord our sins and our brokenness and bringing them before him at the cross and saying, Lord, please save me. It is only by his power that this can be done. So if it's not with emotions, because those are, don't go there. What is it with then? Verse 10. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. It is with our hearts. It is with our convictions and our desires. For that is where desires and wants come from, is the heart. So if we want Christ and we want new life and we want to be free from all of our sin and all of our despair, it takes a change of heart, a change of lifestyle, and a change of habits. For our habits are formed by our heart. And verse 10 says that if we confess and we believe in our hearts that Jesus died, that we have been justified, and we confess that, we will be saved. Is a heart action, is not something that's just done offhand, but it's something that we continue in. We can pray and confess, which is good because we should be confessing our sins and being reconciled and being brought back to Christ. But this is something that Christ saves us once and for all. Who is this for? So if we confess and we change our heart and we believe it, is this for everybody? Because we were talking earlier about the Jews and the Greeks and what the Jews had thought was the law, and who is this for? Who is living by faith? Who is this righteousness? Who is this confession act for? Verse 11, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. And verse 12, for there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. This is for everybody. This is for you and me. This is for people across the world. This is for the Jew, the Greek. This is for the Gentiles. This is the good news. There is no shame for confessing our sins because we are all sinful. We are all broken. And we have all been saved. We all have this hope and this ability to confess and bring before the Lord our broken hearts. We are all sinners. There's no shame. It may feel like it, and it may be just disheartening and burdening to be like, sin, discouragement. But there's no shame because we have all felt that, or we are feeling that today. There's no difference between us. We have all been adopted. I talked in Romans 8 last semester about being adopted, being a child of God and calling out to him as our Father. And we have been grafted in. And I'm gonna look at Romans 11 real quick. I know this is jumping ahead a chapter, but Romans 11, 17 through 24, if you wanna look there real quickly. Verse 17 in chapter 11, but if some of the branches were broken off and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I may be grafted in. That is true. They're broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God, severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted back in. For God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these natural branches be grafted back into their own tree? What is going on? Trees, olives, woo. This is saying that no matter what we do, no matter how far we have fallen, the Lord will always accept us back in and will always adopt us. That even if we continue and we recognize our sin. And, you know, it's that day-to-day confession. You know, one day we may be studying and on fire for the Lord and something changes and you have that really hard day and you get angry with that person and bitter and you realize, oh no. You are still part of God's family. The Lord still accepts you back in and will graft you into the family and still accept you. There's a kindness to the Lord, but there's also a severity. For those who continue in their sin and do not recognize their sin and do not repent and confess of it and return. And by confession, it brings us salvation, the saving act. We must confess. We cannot stay in it because if we stay in our sin, we will be cut off from the Lord. And hell is a real place. Hell is real and is terrifying. Do not be proud. Do not be proud. It is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Seniors, our class verse of Colossians 2, 6 through 7. So as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. As we receive the Christ Jesus the Lord, walk with him daily, resting in his word, resting in the joy and the confidence we have of our salvation by confession, rooted in him, rooted in the word, rooted in prayer, rooted in fellowship with fellow believers, to be built up, to be strengthened by this community, by the word, by the Lord, established in the faith, knowing all the day long that he has saved us. Just as we were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding is a beautiful word. Abounding, overjoyed with thanksgiving, for the Lord is our God and he has saved us. Amen? Amen. Verse 12, moving on. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I read verse 13 too. But it's just so good. There's no difference between any of us. The Jew, the Gentile, the Greek, the slave, the free. We are all sinners and all need Jesus. We all need Jesus. We need this. It's the same forgiveness. It's the same love. It's the same acceptance. There's no difference. There's no different levels. There's no different types or kinds of Jesus' love or forgiveness. He doesn't shun anybody. No matter what you've done, no matter where you are, the Lord loves us all, friends. And I have to be reminded of this too. Sometimes I think I'm not worthy. Sometimes I think I've fallen. But every time I read his word, every time I pray, he is still there. The gospel is still there. This is not an automatic forgiveness. We must call on the Lord for our salvation, for this saving grace. We must call on him. We must talk and have that relationship. Our confession is the start of a relationship with the Lord. It is not to be taken lightly. We must know his name and call on his name. Because in our low times, that may be all we can do. Jehovah, Emmanuel, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, Savior, our King, and Abba, the Father. Have you ever called on those names? Maybe screamed them out in just pure frustration? I have. Wondering, God, what are you doing? What am I doing? What is going on? But he is there to answer us. He is there when we call on him. Last week, when we got back from school, my org met together, and they're down here staring at me. And we took some time, and we talked about what was going on in our lives and just the struggles that we had faced over break and the hard things we were going through. And our meeting ran over by 45 minutes, and I was very thankful like people didn't have the room reserved, because we got to pray together and laugh and cry together of just all that was going on in our lives. And it was beautiful to see when we'd finished praying that people went around the room and started praying again together in smaller groups and just personally. That is the body of Christ, and we always have the good news to build us up, but it takes an act of confession for our salvation. Point two, verses 14 through 17. Preach the good news. We have the good news, we have the gospel, we have salvation by confession. What are we to do with it? Do we keep it for ourselves, locked away, hidden under a bushel? No. No. We must preach the good news. And that is why I'm here today, is because we are called to preach. This is a challenge from Paul to the Romans. Verse 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. This is Paul's challenge to the Roman church of how is the world to hear? How are they to know of the love and the gospel that Jesus has for them? Are they just supposed to miraculously think of it and confess? We must preach it. But are we to preach it to our neighbors? Yes. But we must be sent. We have to go. You don't have to be sent by a missions org or by a church. We are all called to go and profess and confess the salvation that the Lord gives to us. The forgiveness and grace and mercy that the Lord gives to us for everybody. We just had missions conference a little bit ago. To Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You don't have to go far. This could be neighbors. This could be hallmates. We're all called to preach the gospel to one another each and every single day. These questions are challenging and should make us think. We must be sent. Blessed are the feet of those who preach the good news of the gospel of forgiveness. Verse 16, there we go. But have not all obeyed the gospel? For Isaiah says, the Lord who has believed what he has heard from us. There are those out there, the lost sheep. Isaiah 53 is what is being referenced here. And it is referencing a passage that talks about that we are sheep. We are part of the Lord's flock, but the Lord is the sacrificial lamb, the one that has died for our sins, that was hung on the cross, and that our transgressions have been laid on him so that we may receive the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. This word, the word we have access to. And isn't that a beautiful thing? That we have this book to read, that we can know the Lord. Faith in the Lord comes through a constant and repeating recognition of our sin and repentance as we even preach the word, hear it and repent, returning and living by faith. This is an action of confession to bring us salvation. Salvation is a deliverance from sin. It's not sanctification, because as we start this relationship with Christ, sanctification is an ongoing process trying to make us more and more like God. And we will never reach that point because we are human. But it brings us salvation. It brings us forgiveness and deliverance from our sin. It's an action, not an emotion, a repentance of our constant sins, a heart change, a lifestyle change, a habit-forming relationship. Fear not, for I am with you. I am the Lord your God. I will uphold you. Point three. Confession is where it starts, but not where it ends. We have the word. The word is with us. We confess our sins, we have salvation, we go and we preach the good news. How then are we to preach the gospel? If we have the gospel, if we have confession, we have salvation, how are we to do this then? We are all equal and no one is over the other in this world. Romans 8 talked about living by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And Romans 12, just a couple chapters down, says live by grace. By grace you have been saved. Though we are different, we are still one body. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Bless and do not curse. Overcome evil with good. This is the beauty of Romans 12, that it talks about being a living sacrifice, that there are gifts of grace and marks of a true Christian. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Do not pass judgment on one another. Romans 14, 3 through 6. If you flip over a couple pages, 3 through 6, chapter 14, let no one who eats despise the one who abstains. Let the one who abstains not pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is to make him stand. Who are we to judge anyone? It is not our role. It is not within our power. We are all equal. There is no shame. So live as Christ. Chapter 15, this entire letter to the Romans is Paul calling the Romans to the Lord, to live as a living sacrifice, to go and preach the gospel as they confess and recognize their own sins. And it is a call to us. In chapter 15, verses 4 through 17, Paul calls the Romans to live in harmony to profess with one voice, and that Christ has welcomed us into his family. And we can know this because we have God's word. How does it end? Paul's letter to the Romans ends with him saying that he wants to visit the Church of Rome, and the personal greetings of all that are with him. When I was putting this together, I realized that in some brief way, we've kind of looked at all the different chapters of Romans between last semester and this semester. Fun fact. How will we live then? How will we take this word? How will we act upon what we've just heard? Will we continue in sin so grace may abound? May it never be, Romans 6. We have been grafted into the family of the Lord. No matter what we do, we can have assurance of salvation through our confession to the Lord. He gives us grace for our sin. This is the hope of Romans 10, to confess him as Lord and receive the mercies and grace he has in store for us. Salvation is not like a reward as a little child doing a good deed. It's not by good deeds. It's not a bunch of actions. It's by walking in faith. This is a gift we are undeserving of because of our broken and fallen nature in desperate need of grace from the Lord. We sang the world needs Jesus just a little bit ago, and to give us eyes to see the hurting and the broken. We are broken. We need Jesus, and so does the rest of the world. There's a hope for the nations because God is mighty to save. All worship, this entire book, is a love story from Christ showing us that he loves us and wants to be with us in heaven one day. Love and lean on one another as a people for the Lord and the spreading of his word. And this doesn't have to be some come to the front and confess everything. This can happen in the small ways. Talking to your roommate, talking to a trusted friend, to your RAs, to your DL leaders, your discipleship leaders, talking to a professor. This doesn't have to happen in large public ways, but we need to be confessing and be in community. For friends, this world is broken and it's hurting and it needs Jesus. No matter what we have done, no matter what we do, the word of the Lord will always stand. The word and the hope that Jesus gives us will always be there and will always ring true. We're gonna sing a new song in a little bit. And this song is one of my new favorite songs because what it says is that no matter what comes, no matter what we may face, no matter what the world will throw at us, we will still live for the Lord. We will still proclaim him as our King, as our Savior. For if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that he was raised from the dead, we will be saved. The salvation of the Lord will be ours, a deliverance of sins. No matter what comes, will we confess and believe in our hearts the grace and mercy the Lord gives to us, no matter how far we have roamed. The Lord is standing with open arms to graft us back into the family of Jesus Christ, welcoming us back as sons and daughters once we have confessed him as Lord. This is a new song, and I hope that as we sing it, you will just hear the good news of the Lord.